Our second scripture reading, like the first, comes from one of the two letters in our New Testament that the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in the town of Corinth. And these verses from 2 Corinthians, a separate letter than what Mark read from earlier, are part of the introduction of a different letter. And in this introduction, Paul is talking about trouble, suffering, and the comfort that can be found from God and shared with one another. We find these words in verses 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and then verse 8. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any way affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning we continue our sermon series on things Christians say as we look at some phrases that Christians may say at times, what basis, if any, they have in Scripture, and how they can be helpful or less than helpful. There are certain phrases that we may at times in our culture associate with different shows or movies or characters. The phrase, beam me up, Scotty, may be familiar to some of you if you're a Star Trek fan. It's a phrase associated with the original Star Trek series. But did you know that exact phrase, beam me up, Scotty, was never said in any of the 79 episodes or 6 movies of the original Star Trek franchise? Some of you may remember the television show Dragnet. You may remember Joe Friday from that show. A phrase has become associated with him, just the facts, ma'am. Yet he never once actually said that phrase, and that entire phrase on the show. Did you also know Sherlock Holmes never said the exact phrase, elementary, my dear Watson, in any of the original stories by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle either? But along the way, these phrases have been attributed to their particular sources. Last week, we looked at the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. And I mentioned that a poll by a religious polling group showed that 80% of the people they surveyed thought that phrase was in the Bible. Well, it's not. And today's phrase, God won't give us more than we can handle, is another phrase that often gets quoted as being from the Bible, even if we're not sure exactly where. But the reality is that this phrase, too, can't be found anywhere in Scripture either. It's another one of those sayings that's often offered with good intentions behind it. When someone we know is going through a particularly difficult time, we might offer, well, hang in there. Remember, God won't give you more than you can handle. More than once, I've heard people who have multiple things going wrong in their lives say, well, I know God won't give me more than I can handle, but I sure wish God didn't trust me so much. There's something about this idea that just sounds good to us. And while it may be said with good intentions, there's perhaps some problems with this saying too. When we tell someone who is struggling under hard times and heavy burdens, just remember God won't give you more than you can handle, there's a chance, a possibility, that we might just be laying more struggles and guilt on them instead of encouraging them. Because if I'm a person struggling through such hard times and someone tells me, God won't give you more than you can handle, then I may begin to wonder, what's wrong with me? Why am I struggling so much when this is evidently something I should be able to handle? And furthermore, why isn't God stepping in to help here? Because the reality is that sometimes in life, we can feel overwhelmed by all that comes our way. It can exhaust us and even leave us feeling paralyzed from not knowing what to do or even where to begin. Often, someone telling us God won't give you more than you can handle isn't an encouragement. It's throwing another heavy rock on the back of someone who already is sinking under the weight that life has placed on them. There are a couple of other potential difficult problems with this saying. The first is the God won't give you part. This part of the saying implies that everything that comes our way in life is something God has directly chosen to give us, that God is the direct cause of everything. And God has given you these hard times, these hard things in your life, but God will finally stop now because God knows that you can't handle any more beyond this one point. But what kind of God is a God who piles up hard stuff on us right up to the edge of our breaking point? As we looked at a couple of weeks ago when we considered the saying, everything happens for a reason, sometimes bad things in life just happen. God does not directly cause everything that happens in our life. God doesn't give us hard things and struggles. They're a part of life, and they don't always have a reason behind them. And yes, sometimes, but not all the time, but sometimes the hard times we face are the results of choices we've made or the choices others made that are affecting us. But tragedy and loss and struggle are part of life. And it's not a pleasant or comforting thought, but it's a reality nonetheless. Not every bad thing is caused by God or even sent by God to teach us a lesson of some sort. But at the same time, while God doesn't directly cause everything, there's still nothing that happens that God can't still be at work in the midst of. God can use even the worst things that life can bring to bring about redemption and healing at work even in the midst of them. But that doesn't mean that God caused them just for that reason. The second part of the phrase is the other problem. More than you can handle. If I asked for a show of hands this morning of everyone who at one point in their life or another faced struggles or pain or questions that made you feel like you were being crushed under them, I imagine just about every one of us would raise our hand. And if you were one who didn't, the bad news would be that the odds are good that one of those times is probably going to come your way sooner or later too. In the scripture I read earlier from 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to those believers in Corinth, and he's talking about the troubles that he and others went through while they spent some time working in part of Asia. And he says, "We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it." Paul's singing our song here because most of us have been there at one point or another, haven't we? If you face times in life that completely overwhelm you and you wonder how you can possibly make it through it all, you're in good company. Paul shares this experience of he and his fellow co-workers in the gospel. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, prayed to God saying, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death." The Psalms in the Hebrew Bible, the First Testament, are full of examples of the writers and singers crying out that they aren't sure how much longer they can hold out and how they feel crushed under the weight of their struggles. The reality is that for all of us, at one time or another, life gives us more than we can handle. So where does this idea of God not giving us more than we can handle come from in the first place? I suspect it's partially taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which Mark read for us earlier. And the translation that we normally use, the New Revised Standard, uses the translation testing for part of that word, but most other translations opt for the word temptation, which is likely a better choice because Paul's even been talking about things that might tempt us in life. And the verse says, "No temptation has seized you that isn't common for people, but God is faithful. God won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will also supply a way out so that you will be able to endure it." God won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. In other words, for any temptation you face in life, there's a way out, a way to run, a way to turn away, to choose something else instead. And yet this verse perhaps has morphed into something else. Much like those famous quotes I mentioned earlier that aren't ever actually said that way in their original sources, the scripture doesn't say anything about God not giving us more than we can handle. Here, Paul is talking about temptation, not suffering or hard times in life. There's some practical objections to this saying, too. If God really won't give us more than we can handle, then why do we need God anyway? If we can make it just fine on our own, then what purpose does God serve? One of the unintended consequences of this "God won't give you more than you can handle" line is that it reinforces our own self-reliance. I don't know about you, but I often wrestle with my own inclination to live life by my own power, my own strength, my own wisdom. But I need more than that. I need the wisdom and the strength and the presence of others around me. And because life brings more than I can handle, no matter how highly I view my own strengths and abilities, I need more than me. I need God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is talking about a thorn in the flesh he has, this some type of problem that plagued him. This is kind of one of those complicated scriptures to deal with, and biblical scholars aren't really sure what Paul's talking about. Maybe it was a physical ailment, maybe it's some other type of struggle, but it's something that weighs him down, and he asks for it to be taken away. And he says, Paul declares that God's response was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In other words, it's in our weakness. In the times when we give up trying to do it on our own because we realize we can't do it on our own, it's in those times that the doors of our life are thrown wide open for God's strength to really be at work. It's our times of surrender that we can be most open to God. So here's the bad news. Life will give you more than you can handle. It happens to us all. Sometimes more than once. Sometimes things happen that crush us under the weight of it all. They don't just leave us limping, they cut our legs right out from underneath us. Sometimes the hits just keep coming, one struggle or disappointment or loss after another. We all face more than we can handle. Scripture never promises to us that we won't go through hard times. What Scripture does promise is that in all the times of our lives, the good and the bad, God wants to give us strength and be our help. We never face the struggles alone. God is with us even when life threatens to crush us. God is with us even when it may not always seem like it. God is with us. And in our weakness, in the times when we're at the end of our rope and we realize we just can't handle it all, in those times, we're most open to God's strength to come in and flood our lives. That doesn't mean the problems magically go away. That doesn't mean we still don't struggle to take the next step or to do the next thing. But it does mean that we are not alone. It does mean we're carried when we can't walk on our own. It does mean that it's not entirely up to us and our strength. Life will give you more than you can handle, but it doesn't have to be all up to you, because you're never alone. God is with you. Annie Johnson Flint was born on Christmas Eve, 1866. Her mother died when she was 3, and soon after that, her father became so ill that he was forced to give up his children for adoption because he could no longer care for them. Annie was adopted by a loving family, but before she finished high school, both her adoptive parents died as well. Annie wanted to be a teacher and worked hard to get an education to do so. And not long after she began teaching, she was diagnosed with a degenerative disease that left her unable to walk, to live on her own, or to teach. And for the next 40 years, she would live in a home relying on others to help care for her. And she began to write poetry. But eventually, her illness caused the joints in her hands to swell so badly that it was painful to write. So she then began to dictate her poetry for others to write down. And she's best remembered for the poem on the front of your bulletin this morning, which was also turned in to a hymn. God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Life gives us more than we can handle, but God's promises are still true in the midst of it all. And there's a call, a challenge for us this morning as well. Because one of the ways God often chooses to give us the strength and support we need during these times when life is more than we can handle is one another. There's a Facebook meme that goes along with today's saying. I usually find memes frustrating. They're usually a picture with text on it, and they often kind of oversimplify complex issues. But this one was different. And it said, instead of saying, God won't give you more than you can handle, you could say, let me come over and do some of your laundry. Because as we've said, sometimes life will bring more than we can handle. And it's in those times that we as people who follow Jesus have a calling to support and encourage and walk especially close to one another. We are often the ways in which God's strength and power is provided to those who are struggling. And sometimes that looks like help with the laundry or the kids or meals or some other very practical way. Sometimes it looks like simply being present and showing up in the lives of those who are hurting. God works through us to be the physical presence of God in the lives of those facing more than they can handle. Many of us here in this room have experienced the ways that we as a congregation or your friends or others close to you have held each other up in difficult times. So let's continue to be open to all of the ways God wants to work through us to help one another and also those outside these walls. Because we all face more than we can handle. And we all need God. And we all need one another. Let's be willing to admit to God and others that we can't make it on our own. Let's open ourselves up to the ways God is with us in the hard times, including how God is with us through the presence and the help of others. And let's look for ways to be that strength, that encouragement, and that love in the lives of others as well. Life will bring more than we can handle. But we don't have to try to face it alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.